T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, will join us coming up in less than 15 minutes. He drops by at 7:30 on a Tuesday. Chris Jones' deadline comes tomorrow. He and 13 others have some franchise tag deadlines to get to tomorrow in the NFL.
Are we calling them the franchise 14?
Franchise 14? Might be. This is a little bit different than the 99 club, but it's pretty close, I guess.
I'm not going to call it.
To the 14 club.
Yeah. But it's an interesting club to be part of this year, because nobody in the history of the NFL from a franchise standpoint has ever been part of a club like what's going on right now with these guys.
Not a lot of optimism that there's going to be long-term deals done with anybody. Chris Jones, there was a lot of optimism for quite some time. As we get closer to the deadline, it's maybe waning a bit.
Yeah, it is. And I had a conversation with someone close to the situation yesterday about Chris Jones. I'm like, all right, just kind of lay this whole thing out for me. Where are we with Chris Jones right now? Well, the good news is, do you want the good news, the bad news, or the meh news first? Which one do you prefer? The good news, the bad news, or the meh news?
I mean, I'm always a bad news first.
Bad news first right now is that it's a 50-50 proposition right now to get a deal done. So I was told last night.
50-50. Well, that's the bad news. I mean, it's all uphill from here.
Right.
Downhill.
Yeah, downhill. Yeah. So 50-50 right
now.
No
hill. I don't know.
Of getting Chris Jones signed to a long-term deal. Now, do you want the good news? Do I give you the good news now?
Can I get the meh news and then the good news?
Well, the meh news.
You're gonna work your way up. You're gonna work your way.
I don't know why you're even giving me the option.
Okay. Well, the meh news right now is that this is.
Why don't you tell me
what news I want?
I will give you the news that you want. The meh news is that Chris Jones and the Chiefs are actually a little bit different than where everybody else is right now, because the Chiefs are the only franchise that is negotiating with their franchise player on a long-term deal. And that's interesting. I did not know that until I spoke to somebody yesterday. They go, the Chiefs are the only team right now that has a franchise tagged player that is actually negotiating a long-term deal. And the news came out last night that the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott have not really sat down since March. Okay. And that is something that was kind of eye-opening to me. That was according to Pro Football Talk. Doesn't look like Derrick Henry's going to reach a long-term deal. So going through the list of those 14 guys, only 3 have not signed their franchise tender, Chris Jones being one of them, but not one of those players is involved in long-term negotiations with their franchise other than Chris Jones. And the reason is the salary cap uncertainty that is approaching the NFL after this season. We don't know where the salary cap is going to be, and teams are playing it very cautious, but the Chiefs are trying to get a long-term deal done with Chris Jones. So I think as a Chiefs fan, you can really feel good about the direction and where this organization is going, even with the uncertainties out there right now, Josh. They are doing what they can to try to get Chris Jones locked into a long-term deal. And so the good news in all of this is that while there's nothing done now and there's a 50-50 opportunity of getting a deal done for a long-term deal with Chris Jones, they are meeting today. The Chiefs and Chris Jones' side are meeting today. I don't know if that's a Zoom call or WebEx or however they do it now, but they are meeting today. There have been some small gains, but they're not there yet from what I've been told. And so that's the situation that we're facing right now with Chris Jones. And I asked the question yesterday, do you think Chris Jones will sign the franchise tag and play, or will Chris Jones sit out? And the response that I got back was, depends on how much money he saved. And if Chris Jones has saved a lot of money and can opt out this year and not play under that franchise tag like Le'Veon Bell because he's got enough money to do so, then he may do so. But if he doesn't have enough money in the bank and needs the check, what is it, $16 million to play this year, then he'll probably
he's
end up signing and playing.
He's made just over six before, and he can make 16 next year.
Correct.
So I don't know how much you'd had to save to make that decision seemingly
right.
make sense to you.
And I would think at that, like, he's made $6 million total in his career is what you're getting at. Okay. Yeah. I would think at that number, give 50% to the IRS, to your agent, and all that kind of stuff. So you got like $3 million that you've made and kept. You probably don't have a whole heck of a lot of cash floating around, because at the end of the day, that's not a lot of money for a professional athlete to make. And so I would imagine that Chris Jones would want to play and get that money.
$6.2 million he's made.
Over the course of his career.
In 4 years.
That's not a lot of cash,
no,
guys. That's
no.
not a lot of cash.
So that's why I'm saying
16. That may be in the Chiefs' favor of him signing
that
deal.
It's a lot of cash, but I'm saying 16 is a big number for them this upcoming year. I mean, you're making.
Well, yes.
You're making almost
three times as much as what you
right.
made in your career
in 1 year.
Yeah.
It would be pretty hard to turn down. But seemingly,
right.
I mean, if what he's floating out on social media is what he's also telling his agents, he clearly wants to get what he believes he's worth.
Correct.
Okay.
And I don't blame him. But you're only worth what somebody's willing to pay.
And that would sound like he's currently not being offered what he thinks he's
worth.
Well,
it sounds
he's like
worth.
The Chiefs think he's worth at least $16 million a year. I mean.
Well, no, for 1 year.
Yeah.
For 1 year.
That's fair.
You're for 1 year.
Truly, like, the franchise tag is just 1 year. But if you're looking for.
Why is it Truly and not White Claw?
They got their first.
Just keep going.
They just got their first. You don't know what it is over multiple years. If he's on 20 a year.
But if he signed the franchise tag this year and the Chiefs didn't get a long-term deal with him done in heading into the season, like, they're going to franchise him again, right? Like, we all think that would be the case.
Well,
they would likely franchise
maybe,
him and try to trade him
next time.
And have somebody do a sign and trade or a trade and sign, so to speak.
Look, I'm going to tell you this right now. With the uncertainty of where it is going forward with the salary cap, it's looking like, and the Chiefs released it, you know, last week, hey, we're not going to have everybody there this year. The salary cap is probably going to take some sort of hit. Now, how much of a hit, I don't know. I was also told the Players Association and the NFL are still trying to work out financials to get this thing going, you know, this year. And I don't think there's any kind of, you know, like, they're not going to be able to. I think they're going to work out everything. But you don't know how much money they're going to have next year to spend. If I'm Chris Jones, because of the uncertain times that we're in and the unprecedented times that we're in right now, if I'm Chris Jones and that contract maybe not be exactly what you want, but there's a good chunk of guaranteed money and 3 or 4 years of contract, you know, that are offered to you, and let's say you want $60 million in guaranteed money and the Chiefs are offering $50 million in guaranteed money, if I'm Chris Jones, with the uncertainty that's going on right now in this world, I may take that money and say, yeah, is it $10 million less than I would have loved to have get? You bet. But there's no guarantees any of this kind of money is going to be out there moving forward right now because of the pandemic and because the salary cap potentially may take a step backwards.
I mean,
and teams are shying away from negotiating long-term deals right now other than the Chiefs.
Something tells me the money's out there for Chris Jones. It's likely not with the Chiefs. And so I feel bad for the guy to a degree, as the text line's mentioning, because, yeah, you do play on a team with the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL. You play on on the same defensive line with a guy who is making the type of money that you should be making, or at least you think you should be making. I do think that money's there for him. He will get a Frank Clark-type deal. He'll get a DeForest Buckner-type deal. Like, he's going to command top dollar, and some team
but
will give it to
him. But top dollar may not be the same anymore going forward because of where we are. And I think also,
I
as they
know.
Say, in
life, I don't see that being
I don't,
the case.
I don't necessarily.
Timing is
that.
Everything.
Maybe
timing
for
is
a
not,
year, but after that year, it returns to form.
Well, aren't they borrowing against future caps so to not have a huge cap hit next year? So it's not going to be, you know, an extreme growth.
I mean,
the
we
cap.
can't in one breath say that the cap is funny money and you can do it do with whatever you want. And then the next turn around and say, oh, well, I mean, the cap's going to go
down.
That's
a fair point.
I like the cap's funny money. Okay. We all understand the cap's funny
money.
But
with no other team out there negotiating right now with their franchise players, they're not even talking to a quarterback in Dallas who some people believe is good. And so with a quarterback, they're not even talking long-term deal with. I think right now timing is everything in life, and timing isn't that good right now for Chris Jones in Kansas City.
Voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, joins us. We'll ask him if there's anything Pat can't do next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Every Tuesday morning at 7:30, the voice of the Chiefs Kingdom joins Fesco in the Morning.
Touchdown, Kansas City! Damian Williams runs to immortality! And the pass will be intercepted! It's intercepted! Kansas City, you've got a champion! And the Chiefs Kingdom has firmly planted its flag on top of football's highest summit!
On the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
It is time to talk with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, who's spent the past week driving around a Brinks truck or something. Good morning, Mitch.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I had to take Pat's stuff. So, you know, we're all trying to get by here, man.
It's very difficult.
Everybody's chipping in, yeah.
The second or third job, so they said, hey, you want to drive Pat's, you know, stuff to his place? And I said, sure, but I thought it'd be just a Brinks truck, but it was actually one of those three semi loads, those piggyback ones. So,
yeah. When you heard half $1 billion, what did you do? What was your reaction?
Well, you mean after I fainted?
Yeah.
I just thought it was a unique approach, and honestly, guys, I think if you dive back into maybe a month ago in our discussions, or even 6 weeks ago, I just wasn't all that worried about a long-term deal for Patrick because of him. He is, and I said this, I think, he's mature beyond his years. And to me, this contract signified that. He's mature enough to know, yes, he's the best player in the NFL, and a contract needs to be unique. But he also wanted to stay here. If you look at the way he loves Texas Tech, the way he loves Tyler, Texas White House High School, he wants to make an impact wherever he sets his feet. And he wants to leave a giant footprint here beyond just throwing 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards and being MVPs and winning Super Bowls. He wants to make more of his life than that. And that's where he is uniquely mature beyond his years. He loves it here in the Chiefs Kingdom, and he wants to make his life here. And that's what that contract to me signified.
You know, and we saw Patrick Mahomes, you know, sign the deal and then immediately go to Tahoe, play golf, putt, you know, without looking and sinking one. We saw him throw a pine cone at Travis Kelce's butt. We saw him get a 99 rating in Madden. Like, that just happened this week. That's just this week. Is there anything this kid can't do?
Nah, try to find it. Curling? I don't know. He'd be good at that, too.
Sure he would.
Yeah, I mean, you know exactly where the ice, you know, has to be. I don't know. He's that kind of guy. I mean, honestly, when you look at his velocity when he was throwing and being drafted by the Tigers, you know, he might be in somebody's starting rotation by now, or at least in AAA ready to go. In basketball, I remember that he was really a recruited Division I point guard. And here's the thing. People go, well, who won the contract? Did the Chiefs win it or did Mahomes win it? And those kind of discussions drive me crazy. Because who wins it? It's who wins the games, okay? And so when he goes into the Hall of Fame, he's not going to stand up there in his acceptance speech and go, you know what, I signed this really awesome, unique, crazy contract in 2020 during the coronavirus. He's not going to say that. He's going to talk about the accomplishments that he had with his teammates, his incredible coaches, what he did for the Chiefs Kingdom. Go back to his MVP speech of a year ago, after the 2018 season. It was only like 90 seconds long, but it was like the Gettysburg Address. It was so impactful in just the few words that he said, and he basically gave you an indication of his heart, and that is how much that he loves being here and playing here and the Chiefs Kingdom. And for a 24-year-old young man, that's not always the case. So it's not going to be having a gold jacket and stand up there and go, man, I signed some cool contracts. It's going to be what he did with his life, with the ability that God gave him and the environment and the way he could enrich and build his life.
You mentioned him being mature beyond his years. I think I've already seen that even since. Like, he's handled the GOAT questions already that have popped up, like being compared to some of the greats of all time, and kind of handled those with I think, a really good set of answers. Like, those are the people I'm chasing, but I'm not there yet, where it seems kind of unfair that he's being thrust into these conversations already.
Well, and I think that's a little bit the way he grew up around, I think, respect. If you can find it, then you got to dig back deep in the archives. You may have to Google it, like, for YouTube, or search it on YouTube. This has been a couple years back, but it was Lenny, me, and him sitting down in the studio. I don't know if you guys remember this or saw it, but find it if you have it. And it's not about me, forget me in this. It was just, I was sitting there going, I'm living history as I'm in between Mahomes and Dawson. Mm-hmm. But what struck me about that was how they're watching tape of each other, basically, and breaking it down. Like, Len's looking at Pat, and he's talking about, and then Pat's looking at Len's tape and talking about it. But I sit there and was looking at Patrick Mahomes and was amazed at how much respect and knowledge he had about Len Dawson. And that told me everything. Gives me chills to talk about it this morning. It told me everything about him, Mahomes, and the fact that he even knew Len Dawson, knew about his career, instead of just some PR guy prompting him about it before he did the interview. Because that's the way Pat is. So when you do these GOAT discussions, what triggered that thought was when you're talking about these GOAT discussions and how he handles it, he has the proper perspective because he knows who Unitas is and Marino is and Dawson is and Elway is. He has an understanding of where he fits, but it's not just him.
Mitch, you know, you were probably better than half of those quarterbacks that came between Dawson and Mahomes, too, as you were sitting there. So don't knock yourself on that one. There were some guys that you probably could have outplayed over the years here in Kansas City at that position. So I don't want you to sell yourself short on that one. But when we look at the quarterback, like, we're in this.
You mean Tyler Palco? He lives here, actually.
Yeah.
I ran into him at a golf thing. I didn't run into him, but I heard he was like two holes ahead of me. But anyway, so I invited him, but he didn't show up. He
didn't show up, no. Wasn't.
You'll find that video. It's great. It's him and Mahomes. I mean, it's not Palco. It's Mahomes and Dawson, and just those two going back and forth. It was a moment.
I think what we live now in a world where Super Bowls like define the quarterback right now in the NFL. And I was talking to my buddy Joe yesterday.
What if I told we lived in a world where
we talk a lot of football, you know, between ourselves, and he was like coming up with the all time roster of guys who didn't win Super Bowls versus guys who did. And you'll take Marino and you'll take Fouts over, you know, like a Brad Johnson or a Trent Dilfer or somebody who, you know, was a flash in a pan and won a Super Bowl because of defense and things of that nature. So with all that being said, does Mahomes have to get the 6 or 7 Super Bowls to be considered the greatest all time? For you, what would define him being the greatest of all time?
Well, Brady's got the standard. I mean, and, you know, there's two columns here. Is one, the great quarterback, and you mentioned maybe Marino, I guess, is the valedictorian of the one column, is the great quarterbacks who never won Super Bowls. And again, I think we got to be careful not to be too stat conscious there, because we love passing yards, but what do those yards become? And then there's the column of the quarterbacks that have won Super Bowls that would be in both columns. And Mahomes is now already at 24, but in both columns. But Brady becomes the gold standard here. You don't win 6 world titles and in what, 9 Super Bowls, or he's lost 3 of them. I mean, that's, so does Patrick have to get to that to be the GOAT? I don't know. I mean, that's probably not, but you got to get something close to what Brady did, because that's the bar. I mean, that's the opening height to clear in the high jump if you're going to be in the discussion of being the greatest of all time. However, Patrick's working on it. And then I look at other things, too, the greatest of all time. I think Patrick's going to have an immense impact on this league over the next 10 years, and not just stats and how he plays and what he does. We've already seen his impact and his understanding of the world around him, right? And nothing against Tom Brady, but I either personality or didn't know if he wanted to jump in that much. To me, Patrick wants to influence positively using the conduit he has of his career and his performance to make a bigger impact. And that's where I think Patrick Mahomes could enter and get maybe a third column of being considered the GOAT because of his impact. He wants to make the game better. He wants to make the world around him better. That sounds trite, but that's the way he is. And that's why we're so blessed to have him here as our quarterback.
I think, guys, too, fair to say, if you're talking about the comparison strictly with Brady, like early on in the career, franchise is better set up initially to get off to the start that they have. I think he's in a better spot than maybe Brady was entering his fourth year in the NFL.
Josh, the only thing I would say, and not to refute that, I would agree with that a lot of it, is that Brady's division just never really challenged him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who did he have in front of him in that division, even as a Mahomes, let's say, that would be for the Dolphins, Jets, or Bills? He just didn't have that. I mean, they just wiped that division out for basically two decades with Brady. And the Chiefs, I don't think, have that. I mean, they're okay, we've seen the Chiefs be dominant in the division, 27-3 in the last 30 games and four straight division titles. But that also included a 12-4 Raider team, a 12-4 Charger team, and a Bronco team that won the Super Bowl. I just think the division, the AFC West, the way it is wired, will be more of a challenge to Patrick Mahomes over the next decade than the AFC East was to Brady in the past 20 years.
Yeah, I would agree. I've said I believe that the division will be more of a challenge because I'm a bigger believer in the AFC West and where it can be versus what the East was when Brady was running it.
Yep, agree.
Yeah, that's I think there's plenty of teams in the West coming, which we discussed, Bob, over the the course of the next 12 years.
Yeah,
like
what would be
the fair bars and I said, hey, watch out. I don't think the division's going to be a roll through like the Patriots had been.
Yeah, no, but I think, you know, if you look at this contract right now, Mitch, I think you have to expect every year, as long as Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback, that they're going to at least win the division. I think that's a fair expectation, right?
Well, I mean, that's what you shoot for. That's Andy Reid's first box to check every year because that opens up the door to get the one bye that's going to be available there,
And
you get into the playoffs. I mean, you're not sitting there, fighting for a wild card. You win the division you're in. And so it's like winning the conference tournament in basketball. You don't have to sit there and wait for the NCAA selection show. So that's always the first box to check. But I think that, yes, they'll challenge. But what this contract also did, and this is what I expected Patrick to do as well, and part of his maturity is, I'm not going to sign a contract and not give me a chance to win. So now you can set the course, even short term in 20 and 21, even though there's the specter of doubt about revenues, really 22 possibly thrown in there. But if you look at it now, Brett Veach, Andy Reid can chart the course knowing Pat's contract is there. So how do you frame up the rest of your salary cap and your roster? And instead of think about the doubt and the uncertainty of you've got a quarterback who's, what's gone on with like Dak Prescott and the Cowboys and the other uncertain contracts. Now you've got the map laid out, and now you can put your teams together, Bob, over the next 10 years based on where Pat's going to be.
Well, and Mitch, you mentioned the uncertainties, not only going next year, but maybe even in 2022 with the salary cap and where we are right now. And that brings us to Chris Jones. And, from everything I'm hearing, we're at like a 50-50 to get a deal done. I know they're going to meet again today and have some conversations about maybe getting some kind of long-term deal done for Chris Jones. But the Chiefs are really the only team that's negotiating with their franchise player on a long-term deal. So what do you think is going to happen? And if Chris Jones called you for advice, what would you tell him?
Don't set out. When is that working for anybody?
No.
I mean, I don't mean that to be derogatory. Chris is an awesome dude. Let's just start with the overall tenor of this thing, the way from being socially distanced here, I've been able to pick up. One, Chris wants to be a Chief, okay? And the Chiefs would love to have Chris Jones be a Chief. Now, that's where it starts. I don't sense there's this huge acrimony. Now, I don't know his representatives, because that would be key here. But I know Chris, and I know where he wants to be and what he wants to do. Okay. The difficult thing here is the uncertainty, because we don't know. Now, I think today could be a big day, but I'm not going to guarantee anything or predict anything. But I do think the fact that they're getting together today to have some serious discussions could be big. But if Chris gets a chance to play as a franchise tag player and, what, a guaranteed $16 million, I'd say play and tear it up. Just get after it. And I know that that's maybe not the company line as far as the players who get tagged, but I just don't think it works so far for Le'Veon Bell to set out.
No, and then he had to go play for the Jets, too.
Well, and it's play.
Yeah.
I'm getting a good guaranteed money. I'm going to get good guaranteed money, and then I'm going to play my tail off, because if I set, it makes me less marketable to me for either the Chiefs or anybody else. Because now there's like, well, what's he going to be like after he sets for a year sometime? And I don't mean that to be bargaining for the Chiefs. So don't take it that way, because, you know, I'll see Chris and talk to Chris and don't want him to think, well, man, you were selling me out. No, it's not that at all. But you asked me the question, what would you tell him? And based on history, I'd say play and tear it up, because you gain more value that way by just jumping in and going, which is what he did last year, honestly. He came to camp, worked hard, and was ready to go to make 2019 successful. He's got to get a Super Bowl ring out of it. And so, hey, just go. Just get it done. Let's figure out where this cap's going to go. But if you play and tear it up, that'll help you and not unhurt you.
Camp for rookies and quarterbacks hopefully could start as soon as this weekend. What are some of the early storylines you'd be looking at?
Well, I think those rookies are really interesting to watch. Now, there's the two obvious ones, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Willie Gay Jr. All right, set them aside. Now, that's going to be interesting to watch, but let's dig into where Mitch likes to go, and that is, who are the next one or two guys that jump out of this class? Go back to last year's class. What you like to do, we're seeing this now in every class, which is why the Chiefs have been successful, or most every class, and that is you've got two guys that emerge and then two guys that build and kind of pop late. Think of Rashad Fenton and what he did last year at corner throughout the playoffs and at the end of the regular season. I think of Armani Watts, actually 2 years ago before his knee surgery, and I think he has a chance to be a breakout player in 2020. So to answer your question, Josh, I'm looking at the Bo Peep Keyses, the Sneeds, who in this class, you know, I don't know, LaVert Hill, who's there that we don't know, who that becomes a special teams demon, or by midseason or the end of the season, beyond those first two draft picks, that become impactful players for this team. Because it seems to me, to be successful in this league, I want four guys out of every draft class that become at least five-year players for me. Two that become stars and two that develop into either stars or quasi-stars.
All right, Mitch, before we let you go, Washington is changing their name. Do you think that has any impact on our franchise?
Man, that's a whole other discussion, and there's a ton of depth, and you got to look at it horizontally and vertically and really deep. If so, then it takes more than just a passing glance or a comment. There's a lot bigger discussion. Now, in this, the positive that I hope comes from people looking at the Redskin name or whatever, because here's one thing I'm very proud of this Chiefs franchise. You tell me another franchise that has worked harder in trying to bring awareness to the history, to the contributions, and to the current state of the different Native American tribes. We worked with as many as 17, if I'm not mistaken, because every year there is at least 1 week dedicated to that. I know it's something near and dear in my heart, Bob. If you want to do something, you can take every day of your show and talk about one of the tribes from this region and talk about the impact that they had and continue to have in some instances. whether it's the Shawnee or the Osage or the Sac and Fox or the Potawatomi, I'm going to leave somebody out. And so I know at the Home of the Range Cabin, where I'm involved in Smith County, my home county, we're working with the Pawnee Nation to make that site, as well as the song in the cabin, but the Pawnee Nation would be honored. So in these discussions, if there's not also some way all of us can understand there's a nature and a heritage and a history, and also, you know, current impact and situation, that has to be part of this discussion too. I'm giving you a long answer, but there's more of an answer here of like, hey, you got to change the nickname because we feel like it's derogatory. Who is going to represent these tribes, and who's going to represent them instead of just, you know, saying something about changing the nickname? The Chiefs, I'm very proud of them because they've worked very hard at working with a lot of tribes and working with area places like Haskell University in Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking a whole week-long discussion, buddy.
Yeah.
You could take your show for a week and do nothing but discuss it because it probably requires that much time and depth.
No doubt about it, Mitch. We appreciate the time. Enjoy what could be a fun start to training camp this weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week.
I'm ready.
I bet we are too. We can't wait to rock and roll.
Ready.
Get out there, put the coach's gear on, take notes, and let us know what you see next Tuesday.
You got it, buddy.
All right, take care. That's Mitch Holthus, voice of the Chiefs, with us here on 610 Sports Radio, and he will be getting information that you never get anywhere else when it comes to the Chiefs, when it comes to training camp, and he will be with us every single Tuesday at 7:30.
Mahomes doing something we never thought he would do. We'll tell you what next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Hey, Pat's done something else. He's going to be on the cover of GQ next, this upcoming month in August.
Okay, awesome. I'm a subscriber to that. They asked me to be on the cover. I wasn't available.
No, they didn't.
No way in hell that happened.
I haven't gone through the entire article yet. But
you said he's wearing socks and sandals?
Yeah, right in the first picture.
Where are you seeing that?
I don't know what's going on with the kids anymore.
The very
these
first
days.
Picture, he's got socks and sandals.
I better click on the link here.
But
I don't see it. Click on the link.
I haven't got through the entire
the cover.
The entire story yet, but really impactful stuff, like right at the beginning of the story about what Mitch had talked about, that he may have an extra category, like personal numbers, Super Bowl numbers.
Right. And impact numbers. Yeah.
Impact.
Mm-hmm. I'm not as concerned with the socks and sandals as I am with this pinky ring he's wearing. All right. You do.
I'm just saying. It's okay for the rest of us to wear socks and sandals
is
now.
Is Patrick Mahomes about to make the pinky ring popular?
I'm not sure.
When will this show up in my mailbox?
We'll tell you next.
The other portion of it, though, is a good portion of the beginning of the article, and even talks about a 30-minute to an hour conversation he had with Roger Goodell about what the league could do to help promote causes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ready to use his platform.
Good.
To enact change and push things forward. And
mm-hmm.
Like before you even get to the football stuff. You kind of know the football stuff, right?
We're not going to get much football in GQ,
no,
right?
But I mean, you know? Before you even get to the football impact, he's talking about that other category that Mahomes quickly is able to thrust himself into.
Right.
And a lot of times it's should you choose to, he is choosing to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's choosing to do it.
Right. Like the knock on Jordan for a long time was, it's just basketball and shoes,
right,
man.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it. And that was fine.
Like Mahomes could be just football and socks and sandals.
And
now,
if that was your choice, I don't have a problem with that either. Like,
It's not your duty as a professional athlete to have to take on outside things.
I don't think it is. If you choose to, great.
But if you don't, because you don't hold that against
somebody. You can't have a massive impact if you choose to use that and use that platform to do so. And it certainly sounds like Mahomes is ready, willing, and able to do it.
Awesome. And you can have a different platform and reach a totally different audience, because let's be honest, a lot of us that watch sports don't consume anything else. And so when you have a sports figure, you know, giving his views and expressing his opinions and talking about what he believes in,
it could push everyone into an area that they haven't been before.
Correct. It could be very, very good. But if a sports figure chooses not to participate, not to express his views, and not to get involved, I'm never going to hold that against him.
Those sandals, by the way, $55 Yeezy slides.
Oh, I thought they'd be a lot more than that, to be honest with you.
The socks are $25.
For the Yeezy slides, though, yeah, you thought they'd be more.
Yeah, I definitely. $55, I can see that. I thought you were going to say $5,500, to be honest with you.
So, like, you know, it's GQ, so they list all the things that he's wearing right, and where you can purchase them. The only thing they didn't list was the pinky ring, which lets me know that Pat walked in with it.
There you go.
He had it on his own.
It's like Tony Soprano or something. All right. He is wearing a tracksuit on the cover, too.
Right, so he's wearing a tracksuit and a pinky ring. He's the new Tony Soprano of the NFL. He's the boss.
Here for that.
He's gonna set our wardrobes for us, guys.
Oh my goodness, that tracksuit's $3,700.
Okay, maybe not.
That's not in my price range.
Sounds like Chris Jones money. We'll discuss that next.
Fesco in the morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.